Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So the Department of Justice, they have filed a lawsuit accusing Google of violating antitrust law. And you go, about damn time, right? Evidently, they're claiming that because of their agreements with Apple and obviously with Android, which is theirs, that their search engine, being the primary search engine on the phone, that gives them an advantage, which I don't use it at all. I go a different direction. But you can't even take it off, which I think is part of the claim as well. And here to share some thoughts on if this is a good thing, this is a bad thing, and why now? I've asked our good friend Pat Garofalo to come talk with us. Pat's the author of The Billion Dollar Boondoggle, How Our Politicians Let Corporations and Bigwigs Steal Our Money and Jobs. He's also got the Boondoggle newsletter that you can subscribe to. Pat, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me back.
So let's start with this this lawsuit. I think this is a good thing. And the question I have is, what took so long and why now?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I mean, I think on the merits, the case is good. There is certainly some politicking going on. Trump and the Department of Justice and the Trump administration want to look like they're taking on big tech 2 weeks before the election. So I think there's certainly some aspect of that to the settlement. But it's a decent case. Like, it could have gotten really stupid, right? Since conservatives are so concerned about, and I'm using square quotes now, bias on big tech platforms, this could have been a really silly complaint. It's not. It really goes through systematic how Google has both built and maintained its dominance in search through anti-competitive practices. And why did it take so long? Because for 40 years, we've decided that antitrust doesn't matter, that corporations run things. And in this moment, a lot of people are changing their minds. I think an important thing for the context of this is that it's just one small slice of a pretty broad bipartisan movement against corporate power. Just a few weeks ago, you saw the House Antitrust Subcommittee released a monster report on the power that corporations have online. So this is just one part of a pretty, pretty big movement.
Yeah, but here's the weird thing, Pat, you know, and okay, so you're saying there's this movement of elected officials saying, hey, you know, and a bipartisan movement, but we're inculcating corporate dominance in our Supreme Court, because if you look at the cases that have been in front of the court, they have sided with corporate America more than 70% of the time. And the woman that they're putting on now is even worse than that. So is it possible we go through, we file this lawsuit, and at the end of the day, they go, I'm sorry, we're going to side with corporate America?
Absolutely, 100%. It is totally incoherent to be nominating her for the Supreme Court at the same time you're launching this case. Absolutely. There's every chance that when this thing gets, if and when this thing gets to the Supreme Court, that she's the deciding vote to knock it out. But I mean, that's the Trump administration, right? The right hand often doesn't know what the left hand's doing.
Yeah, but at the end of this, I think a lot of people, I haven't found anyone who's against this yet other than Google and the big tech folks. I think most people are really fed up with these big tech companies. I think a lot of people are now coming around to figuring out how much information they hold on us, how dangerous that can be, and what the power that they have over our democratic process as well.
I think that's absolutely right. And actually, an important point to make here is that this doesn't have to go through the courts, right? Congress can step in and do stuff about this and tell the courts to stuff it. If the Supreme Court comes through with a bad case, Congress can go back and say, you know what, we're just changing the law, and the Supreme Court has to deal with it. But I think that's right, that there's been, especially during the pandemic, when we've all sort of been forced to use these companies, perhaps more than we're comfortable with, a growing recognition of how dangerous they truly are. You have to use them. That's why they're monopolies. A big part of the case about Google today is that it owns 95% of the search market on your mobile phone. There is no other option. Google pays Apple billions of dollars a year to be the default search on iPhones. When they license out Android, they force all of, not just Google Search, but all of their Google products to be used. You literally cannot delete them off an Android phone. And so that, to some, like the power that they hold over this market is just almost absolute.
I mean, to me, this seems a lot like the same case that Microsoft went through. Because Microsoft, you know, demanded that their software be on every computer and you couldn't put anything else on. They literally had the corner on the market, and we broke that up and they survived. They're still a mega corporation. This seems like a no-brainer to me.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. And you could think of probably two dozen companies, right, that you could split Google up into. It's a massive, massive monster. It has something like 8 different products that have a billion users each. There's simply no way for one executive team to even monitor the size and scale of this thing. And it's actually an interesting point is that Google search is getting worse, right? Once upon a time, when Google first started, it presented itself as the company where you came in, you wrote in what you were looking for, and you got off, and you went somewhere else, and they sent you to another website. That's not really what happens anymore. Less than half of searches that go through Google now end up leaving Google. More than half keep you within the Google ecosystem because that's ultimately how Google makes money, by showing you more ads, by keeping you on their properties. So even if the information you're looking for is somewhere else, Google's incentive is to keep you on Google properties. So more and more and more, that's what they do. They show you more ads. They send you to Google Maps. They send you to Google Shopping. They don't want you to leave the walled garden. Facebook has an extremely similar problem, right, in trying to keep you on the platform to sell you more ads. And so Google portrays itself as this simple conduit to whatever you're looking for, but it's not that anymore.
Yeah, which is why it's weird. You know, I was searching for something before, a little earlier, and I couldn't find what I was looking for, but I found everything that I had searched, over the last month that had popped up. You know, I was looking for a bike, and all of a sudden, there's the bike I was looking for. I'm going, I didn't search for that. So it's right in line with what you're talking about. But how much of this, and I guess the question that pops into my head is, how much of this is the result of ending net neutrality? Because, you know, I don't know about you, but when I search for something, especially when I use Google, the first 5 or 6 things are ads. You know, they're sponsored websites. They're not what I'm looking for. For instance, I was looking at, you know, how to track my ballot. And, you know, the state of Pennsylvania, how to track my ballot. The PA website for our government was the 7th choice behind all of these other things. I'm going, I was searching specifically for state of Pennsylvania, how do I track my ballot? And it's the 7th choice down below everything else.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's all sorts of nonsense. I feel like we've all had the experience of trying to search for something and wading through ads and then Google's own products. And then finally down in the 10th or 11th listing, if you're lucky, you maybe find the thing that you're looking for. And that gets back to what I'm talking about, right? Google's incentive is for you to not leave. It's for you to look at more ads. It's for you to stay on Google properties. They don't ever want you to go anywhere else.
Right. So let me ask you the other side of this, because I have a lot of friends who believe that the internet should be treated just like the electric company or the water company, that we should make this a utility, because it is now something that you almost cannot do without in this society. And to have a company with the power of Google and the data collection capability of Google and Facebook and all the rest of them, is something that we shouldn't have in private hands, that there should be some government oversight and some way for us to recapture our data.
Absolutely. I mean, it gets to what we're talking about, right? The fact that your Google searches are garbage, you're not finding what you're looking for, but there's nowhere else to go. Like, you can try Bing, you can try DuckDuckGo, but they're a fraction of the market. They don't have the data that Google has. And Google is making these massive payments to Apple and doing what it does with its Android operating system to ensure that no competitor can ever, ever, ever challenge it. There's simply no way to get into this market. So no matter how lousy Google's product gets, you're never going to be able to go anywhere else if the current status quo holds.
Is it like this in the rest of the world? I mean, you know, because my choice is I really hate Apple products. I hate everything Apple. So I refuse to get Apple, but I'm stuck going in the other direction of Android being the other choice. So do I go with Apple, who I despise, or Google that I despise? I don't have any other options.
I mean, it's interesting how this case is going to affect Apple, right? Because it's a huge portion of Apple's revenue is just simply payments from Google to set Google as the default on everything on your iPhone and in Safari. So that's going to be one of the interesting knock-on effects, is to see what Apple does in response to this. But my understanding is that this is actually pretty similar to the rest of the world. There aren't a lot of good antitrust authorities out there. The one thing I have heard is that Russia actually broke up Google, probably for reasons that had nothing to do with economics and everything to do with political power, a handful of years ago, and has a more competitive search market than we do. But that's the only example that I've heard, because the same trends that we've seen here over the last 30, 40 years of turning antitrust into a dead letter, of letting corporations do whatever they want, of deciding that price is literally the only thing that matters when we're talking about corporate power, has also happened in the rest of the world.
So let me ask you this, because, you know, I remember this argument. And the reason I brought up Microsoft earlier is because I remember friends going, well, you know, the market decided, you know, we all like to use Office, and, you know, the market decided that this was the best software. And I said, I don't know that the market decided, because you didn't really get a choice. But what do you make of that argument that the market has decided Google is the company that we've all gone to, that we all use? Everyone Googles things. It's now a verb. What do you say to that argument?
I say that that's literally just not what happened. The practices that we're talking about prevented there from being a real market. The fact that Google made these massive payments to Apple, treated Android as a bundle with all of its other stuff, means there never could be a competitive market. You know, we've all heard about, like I got asked earlier today, oh, what about Ask Jeeves? What about Bing? How come nobody uses these things? Because not only are you basically handed Google on a platter all the time, but oftentimes people don't even understand that there could be something better. Google has, to your point, become so synonymous with searches that people don't really understand that it doesn't have to be that way. If you go on looking for a doctor and you get Google's like doctor ratings and the few business listings that they have, and you wind up going to a subpar doctor and getting bad medical care, you maybe didn't know that buried somewhere down in the search links, there was another website that was ranking doctors that had much better information, that had way more listings, because you simply didn't scroll down to it. Google is betting on the anti-competitive practices and then simple human nature working in its favor to entrench this monopoly. And people just don't know what they don't know,
right,
especially because Google does portray itself as just this conduit. And I don't know if you've seen the ads in your neck of the woods, but here in Washington, D.C., Google has been airing ads, presumably in anticipation of this case, showing like, when you need something for your cat, we help you find it. When you need to find toys for your kids, we help you find them in your neighborhood. We're all about local businesses and local customers, trying to head off this very argument. But that's just not the way Google actually works for people who interact with it.
No, you bring up an interesting point, because I think most of us think that, you know, Google's just a way to get to the internet, to the inner tubes. It's just going to get us there, and that there's all of this information on the inner tubes that we're going to get. And it doesn't matter how you what engine you use or what thing you use. It's all the same. And I think that's an interesting point that you bring up, that, you know, Google's got its own stuff that they keep littering the internet with, that you get stuck having to weed through.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think people don't quite realize that if you search, say, Thai restaurant near me, instead of if say Yelp or LinkedIn or whatever, Yelp or TripAdvisor, excuse me, has the best business listings for your neighborhood, Google's not going to send you there. They're going to send you to their own business listings, even if the other ones are better. Or say you're looking for a map of a particular area, they're always going to send you to Google Maps, even if another mapping company has better information. Their incentive is always to keep you there. And again, people just like don't know that that's happening, because they think of Google as this just gateway. It's just a door to other stuff. But no, it is constantly short-circuiting its own algorithm to present you with new Google things. There have actually been two academic studies done on this, wherein people were presented with what Google's own algorithm would just naturally produce for a particular search and what it actually produces, because Google is preferencing its own products. Over and over and over again, people want the natural algorithm. They want just the best information, the sort of collective wisdom of the internet. And instead, what they're getting, which they don't like as much, is Google stuff, Google stuff, Google stuff.
So how does this play out? Let's say the lawsuit goes forward. They maybe break up Google a little bit. How does that change our daily lives? You know, how is this going? How are you going to interject competition into this world of search engines?
Yeah, I think the important thing is actually this is just one really small slice of Google's monopoly. And I don't know if that's because this was what DOJ thought was sort of the easiest case, or it was the quickest one to put together because they wanted to get out there. So this is not by any means going to fix everything. You're going to have to take many swipes at this problem. And actually, there are at least a couple of other ongoing investigations at the state attorney general level into Google that we're expecting to see cases in the coming weeks and months, one on its dominance of advertising tech, which is huge for journalism. And the other, I'm not actually sure what they're looking into, but we'll see those cases get rolled out, because you have to do this in a really big way, because just this one case is not going to solve the problem. That's not going to end Google's dominance.
Yeah, so I guess the last line of questioning I've got for you, because, you know, I had someone say, you know, see, Donald Trump's taking on big tech. How much of this is Donald Trump? Because I know he has his problem with Twitter and them taking down his posts when he says something stupid. How much is that, and how much of this is the Department of Justice and the career bureaucrats just doing their jobs?
Yeah, there's certainly the timing is certainly some of that. I think Trump wants to be seen as taking on big tech. And like I said, this could have gotten really stupid and it could have gotten at, oh, they're biased against conservatives. They're doing shadow banning or whatever the nonsense. And it didn't. So this was a massive, massive investigation that's been many months in the offing, and tons of states were involved. Only 11 states decided to sign on to this, and they're all Republican. I think the Democratic states basically didn't trust Bill Barr. You know, they saw what he did with the Mueller report. They didn't trust him to be a neutral arbiter. And so they said, eh, we don't want to join a case and then have Bill Barr come rolling out and be like, look, even Democrats agree that, you know, Google is banning conservatives. But they're doing their own investigation. So they could join this case later if, you know, knock on wood, there's a Biden administration, they could hop on, they can launch their own cases. So this is just one small slice. And so there's certainly some politicking in the timing, but the investigation is serious, really long, bipartisan, goes along with the House's report. I think there's a lot of important work and important momentum being done here that have nothing to do with the upcoming election.
Yeah, because, you know, I look at this and the sad reality is we're so far behind in all of this. We've allowed big tech to get so far out ahead. We've given them so much rope that we're basically hanging ourselves.
I mean, back in 2013, the FTC had a bunch of documents showing that Google was monopolizing various markets, and they decided not to do anything about it. But we should have done something about it then. We should have done something about it in 2005. Never should have allowed Google to buy DoubleClick, which was a merger that nobody blinked about when it happened. And here down the road, it's caused huge problems. We should have tackled this a long time ago. But, you know, now is okay too.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, at some point I keep going, you know, as a labor guy, I keep going, you know, we need to break up these monopolies. We need to do what, you know, what we've done in the past and break up these big moneyed interests. And this is a start, I guess.
Yeah, and you know what? Look, the myth is that breaking up companies is bad for, like, markets and for stockholders, but that's not true.
No, this is supposed to be what the Republicans tell us they want, competition.
Yeah, the company's probably worth more in a bunch of pieces. You know, it's going to be bad for, like, the CEO. Yeah, okay, he won't be the CEO of, you know, giant Alphabet anymore. Okay, fine. But no, for everybody else, for workers, even for most investors in this company, it's going to be turn out better for them.
I'm right there with you. Pat, I appreciate the time. Good stuff.
Anytime. Thanks.
Our good friend Pat Garofalo. Make sure you check out his book, The Billion Dollar Boondoggle, How Our Politicians Like Corporations and Big Wigs Steal Our Money and Jobs. Also, subscribe to the newsletter, The Boondoggle Newsletter on Substack. Thanks so much, Pat. Appreciate it. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around and listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.